last year, we began to discuss the principle of chazaka. There's a room in a Torah called chazaka beikara, that whatever the status quo was, so you assume that everything is the same until proven otherwise. We say that there's a fundamental limitation in terms of following chazaka. That's when chazaka comes into clash with a rove. When you have a rove pointing in one direction, the majority is that's aser, and the chazaka is that it's mutter. It's ruba v'chazaka ruba adif. Even though it was a machlekes at Tanoim, but if that principle is true, but we seem to pass like the chachamim that ruba v'chazaka is ruba adif, and that appears in the Gemara. That's a din in a Torah because that works bein l'kula bein l'chumra. So ruba v'chazaka ruba adif. We gave different biurim last time. I'm not mistaken. Why that should be so? The Shem Shvaitz would be others biurim. Well, nice. That's where the din seems to stand. That ruba v'chazaka ruba adif. Notwithstanding this statement that ruba v'chazaka ruba adif, there is a Gemara that appears in the beginning of the third parak of Maseches Bechoras that seems to throw a little bit of a monkey wrench into that halacha called ruba v'chazaka ruba adif. The Gemara discusses the following shaila. If I have an animal, say I buy an animal from a goy, a mother animal, and I don't know whether this animal ever had a baby or not. So goy is going to tell me it's not good, it's not nemonis. So now it's a shaila v'surin, because if this mother never had a baby, then the firstborn that's going to be born is going to have kedushas bechor. If the mother already had a baby, so then firstborn is not a firstborn anymore. So what's the din? I don't know. How am I going to figure this out? So the Gemara says that one possibility is this animal producing milk already? If the animal is producing milk, so that's probably pointing in the direction that it already had a baby, because the Gemara says that rol behemos einam cholvos elam kev yodos, just as like people, most human beings, most women wouldn't produce milk. The hormones don't begin to kick in milk after they already had a baby, so the animal is already giving milk. That's a pretty good indication that it already has had a baby in the past. We don't know where the baby is. Doesn't matter, as long as one time, 5 years ago, the mother had a baby, so that's enough to pater it from Bechor in the future. So the Gemara quotes about Chalikya Satanoim about the Chayla, whether cholot pota, whether cholot ena pota. The fact that it's having giving milk, is that an indication or not? So there's a shaila to be shown about a paskin in that. There seems to be a Gemara that indicates that we paskin that chol aveinu poter. There's a question, we're not learning the details of Bechiras, those we're starting the Fiyomi next week, can get into the Bechiras dimension in the third parak, but at least the way many of Rishonim learned, we paskin the halacha that chol is eino poter. So the question is, why is chol aveinu poter? Bechiras a rov, it's a pretty stark a rov, that rov behemos, so why shouldn't that be enough of a proof to be matter any subsequent baby that's born? So comes Tosfos and quotes the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that the reason why we don't accept this rove is because even though in theory ben haTorah ruba v'chazaka ruba adif, that's only ben haTorah. That's only what the Ikra did is, but the Rabban and the Chachamim v'chayshesh that ruba v'chazaka. When it's the chumra, lav ruba adif. That we're not going to rely on ruba chazaka ruba adif lekula. We're not going to follow a rov against the chazaka if it comes out to be a kula. So why? How does this play out in terms of ruba chazaka? So even though it's true that there's a rov that most animals don't give off milk until they've already had a baby, so the rov is pointing in the direction of lahakel, but the chazaka is in the direction of being chayev, because every mother, when she's born, she has a chazaka that she hasn't given birth yet. So when a baby is born, when a female animal is born, the chazaka is she's potentially an animal that's chayevus in bechora. So now we have a latest asafik. We're not sure, has that chazaka changed or not? Has she actually given birth? So rov is pointing in the direction that she probably has given birth. Chazaka is pointing in the direction that she hasn't given birth. So although min haTorah, it's a ruba v'chazaka ruba adif, says Rabbeinu Tam, min derabbanan, we say, smoch miyut al chazaka v'isul ruba, that we combine the miyut to the chazaka, and that has an ability min derabbanan to overcome the rov. So this is Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam dug up this Gemara tucked away in the third parak of Maseches Chulin and made a whole shtickle out of it and said, and therefore in Shulchan Aruch throughout your day and Ebenezer, whatever comes up, you thought that Ruba v'Chazak Rubadif, if you thought that was true, Ruba v'Chazak Rubadif, it's not true, says Rabbeinu Tam. L'mais, it's not true. Min haTorah, it's true. Yeah, that's in the perfect world, it's true. But L'mais, Ben Rabbanan, Ruba v'Chazak is Lab Rubadif. This is Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. So many Rishonim disagree with Rabbeinu Tam. Many Rishonim disagree with Rabbeinu Tam and Maseches. as Bechoros, in terms of whether Cholov is Polter or not Polter. Many Rishon disagree with Rebbeinu Tam's Lomdus. Is this really a Chazok or not a Chazok? A lot of potential problems with Rebbeinu Tam. But the Maish of Rebbeinu Tam says it. That's the bottom line of Rebbeinu Tam says it. And there are most things to pass in that way. There are more Chos Bechoros quotes to Rebbeinu Tam. So it could be that next time the Shana comes up in the Maisa, so you have to keep in mind that don't just mock the things based on Rub V'Chazach Rubad, if not so fast. We have to reckon with Rebbeinu Tam that Rub V'Chazach Rubad wouldn't work on a level of the Rabbanan. And we're going to come back soon to the Rebbeinu Tam, because it may be maybe a whole mahalach, a different interpretation of Chazaka. We'll keep that a hold for a little while. So, Kopanim, we have this great principle called Chazaka. We have certain limitations of Chazaka. First and foremost is when it's against the Rov, at least Minat Torah for sure. We pass that Minat Torah, Chazaka loses out to a Rov. Are there any other limitations of Chazaka? So here there is a big machlekes of Rishonim that appears in the third Pekah of the Basra, appears in the beginning of Maseches Kiddushin, about a possible conceptual limitation to the principle of Chazaka. We know when we speak about a Chazaka, we speak about a Chazaka when there's a latest Asafik. What does it mean, a latest Asafik? So the latest Asafik, let's say the original case of latest Asafik that we follow Chazaka, is the case of the Nega. You know, the Kohen walks into the house and he sees there's a Nega Tzaras, and it's a certain size, it's going to be Tameh. He walks outside and he declares that the house is Tamei. So the Gemara in Chulin says, how can he declare the house is Tamei? How does he know that the Neg is the same size? So the answer is, it's a Chazaka. It used to be size X, now it's still same as size X. What's the latest Asafik that the Neg may have gotten smaller? That's Asafik in Metzias. That means we don't know what the size of the Neg is. We really don't know, unless we have a camera at the time that he's standing outside. We're not sure that it's still the same size. So that's the latest Asafik in Metzias. That's the Chiddush HaTorah, that when you have a latest Asafik in Metzias, that maybe something physically has changed, that you follow Chazaka. Let's say some of the other examples the Gemara says. Let's say this is not a perfect example of halacha for other technicalities, but we'll give it anyway. Let's say you had a mikvah that had a Chazaka that it was kosher, and now we realize later that the mikvah doesn't have 40 saw anymore. So we have a latest Asafik. When did that change happen? So Ori should follow Chazaka and say, well, it used to have 40 saw. It had 40 saw last week. It had 40 saw 6 days ago, 5 days ago. We don't know when it still has 40 saw now. The stomach's still at it until the latest possible moment. So those are all sfeikas and metzias. The case of the mikveh is a bad example on technical ground. Title race. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But just to highlight that idea, that most of the time when we speak about chazakas, so we're talking about a suffix in metzias. What would that look be if the latest a suffix is not a suffix in metzias? It's not what the facts on the ground are. It's a suffix in halacha. We have some objective halachic suffix. We don't know what to do. We have a shayla. A shayla comes up. And we don't know what the answer is. We have a machlekes. One says this, one says this. We don't know what it is. So do we have a right to say as follows? Let's say we have a suffix in was kedushin, for argument's sake. We don't know what the did is. So we're going to pass, you know, the woman is muteris. Why is the woman muteris? We're not sure whether she is mekudeshes or not. But when she was born, she wasn't mekudeshes. When she was 3 years old, she wasn't mekudeshes. When she was 12 years old, when she was 20 years old, she wasn't mekudeshes. Now we have some kind of a suffix about whether the kedushin was a valid kedushin or not. We have some halachic suffix. So maybe you can argue, let's follow Chazaka. Because after all, up until now, she was not mekudeshes. So now that you have a suffix whether she's mekudeshes, as lina basa Chazaka. You follow Chazaka. Or maybe one could say, no, this is a different type of a suffix. This is not a suffix in Metzias. You have a suffix in Hilchos Avin Ezer. It's not that you have a suffix whether she got the ring or not. It's not a suffix in Metzias. We know she got the ring. The question is, was it a kosher ring? The question is, what's the din? What does the halacha? Some Rishonim say it was kosher, some Rishonim say it's not kosher. Is that called the type of a suffix that's neat on the following Chazaka? So now Machlekes appears, basically at the beginning of Maseches Kedushin, revolves around the following case. The Gemara says in Daf Hei, in Maseches Kedushin, that when a man is mekadesh a woman, so the Torah says, ki yikach ishisha. That the man has to do the entire Kedushin. So he's the active partner under the chuppah, and she's passive. She receives the Kedushin. Ki yikach ishisha. So what does that mean? He's active and she's passive. So there are two parts of Kedushin. There's the Nesinas HaKesef, that we learn out from Gzir Shava. It says, ki yikach ishisha, and it says, kesef asada kach bimeni faiste ephron, vashas chaisara. So just as by Stei Ephron was Kesef, so to Kika Chishisha means Kesef. So the man has to give the Kesef to the woman, or Kedusha Shtar, whatever the other methods of Kedusha are. So let's say Kedusha Kesef, he gives her the Kesef. The first Mishnah Kedusha says that it need not be literally Kesef, it doesn't have to be Mamish silver. It can be what's called Shavit Kesef as well. Anything that's worth the value of a pruta is also good. Tosfos has a whole discussion in Kiddushin Abayis. How do we know that? The first Mishnah in Kiddushin says that Isha nikneis b'shava kesef. You can give a ring. It doesn't have to be coins of silver. So Tosfos has a whole shaila. Where did Chazal know that? The Gemara never tells us how he knew that. So Tosfos has a long Tosfos to figure out how Chazal figured that out. But the Mice, that's the thing. We all got married with shava kesef. There's only one time I was at a wedding. I was at a wedding when they gave Mamish Kesef. A certain Sephardi community, Morocco or Syria, I forgot about it, a certain Sephardi communities where they give Mamish Kesef. They give pure piece of silver, Mamish, a silver bar. So I was one of the AD Kiddushin. So rather than taking out a ring, the Chassam takes out a block of silver out of his pocket. And he said, it doesn't say B'tabaz. So they say, B'kaspada, with this Mamish silver. That's on the B'kaddish Anish, with the Mamish, with a block of silver. Anyway, most people don't do that. Most people do like it says, like the Mishnah says, you can do either Kesef or Shavu Kesef. So the din is that, Kihiga Chishisha, the man has to do the Nesidus HaKesef, but it's not enough for the man to do the Nesidus HaKesef, the man has to say the Harayat as well. Because if you just give a ring, you don't say a Harayat, so the woman is not Mukudashes, so you require an Amira, L'shem Kedushin as well. So you have to have a Nesida and an Amira all rolled in together. Both of them have to be done by the husband. So that's what the Gemara says in Kedushin of Hey, that the proper fulfillment of Kiika Chishisha means Nosan Huva Amar Hu. He gives the ring and he says the speech. That's it. If you start to tamper with that, if she gives the ring, so that invalidates the Kedushin. Well, let's say the following case. Let's say he gives the ring, but she does the speaking. So he gives her the ring. And rather than him saying Harayat, so she says Harayanim is Kadesh Aslacha, something like that. So that's what's called Nasat Huva Amrihi. So the Gemara is a Shaila. What's the din? Is that a good Kiddushin or not? So on the one hand, he gave the ring, so he did do Kiyikach, fellow Shetikach. On the other hand, he didn't complete it. He just gave the ring. He didn't say the dibur. She said the dibur. So the Gemara is not sure what the din is. Nasat Huva Amrihi. What's the halacha? Is that a valid Kiddushin or is that not a valid Kiddushin? If let's say he does everything, he does the give you the ring, and he says the dibur, and then she also gives him a ring, or she also says something, so that could also potentially throw off the kiddushin, because if he's giving and she's giving, he's speaking and she's giving and she's speaking, we're not sure who's speaking, so that can become a very serious shaila in terms of kiddushin. That's what Moshe Feinstein writes in a tshuva. You start patching around and doing all kind of things which were clearly taken from non-Jews. If you have a double ring ceremony, that he gives her a ring, she gives him a ring. It's her speech, it's him a speech, so that could potentially throw into question the entire validity of the Kiddushin. So Ramesha writes, if let's say she gives him a ring later on, an hour later in the Yichurim, she gives him a ring, whether it's a good idea or a bad idea, that's a different story. But that's not going to invalidate the Kiddushin. That's a separate matana. But if it's mamish part of the same ceremony, that he's giving, she's giving, he's speaking, she's giving, everything's happening at the same time, so it becomes very unclear whether that's Kiyika Chishisha, whether that's Kisika Chishalish, that could potentially throw off the entire Kiddushin. There's a famous story about the Rav, that he was apparently at a chasana, and the person who was involved in what was going on in the chuppah, and this person was supervising a double ring ceremony or something. So the Rav got very, very upset about it. And then, at the end of the chuppah, so it came time to break the glass, so the chassid was turned away and started to walk back. He had forgotten to break the glass. So the Rav stepped on the glass. He broke the glass. Because the Gemara says in Masechet Brachos, that in the days of Chazal, it wasn't the chassid who would break. The Gemara tells the story about one of the Amorim would throw a plate on the floor, would break something, as if as a Zechel HaMikdash, whatever other reason that the Gemara says, they would break, people should calm down, whatever it was. So the breaking of the quote-unquote glass was done by an outsider. There's no bin chassid has to break the glass. Somebody breaks the glass. So this other individual turned around to the Rav and said, Rabbi Soloveitchik, I don't understand you. There's some things that you're so strict about and the other things that you're so lenient about. Because obviously the person didn't understand the ABCs of halacha, that the tefisas kedushin is a din deraisa. We want to make sure the woman's mekudeshes. Who breaks the glass? An afkamin ladina. The couple's married, whether the glass is broken over, breaks the glass. So when you don't understand halacha, so then everything seems to be one big challenge to you. Anyway, I remember I was once at a chasana where they wanted to have a double ring ceremony. So in the Masada Kedushin, the Orthodox rabbi, Masada Kedushin, gets up at the chuppah and he gives a whole speech as to why this is not really a double ring ceremony. Why this is not really, this is not affecting the Kedushin, this is not a Chal Hashem Kedushin. And then anyway, she goes out and gives him a ring and gives a whole hopus pocus about her ending this Kadesh, Mekadesh, whatever it is. I turned around to the person next to me. I said, I'm not sure. If it's not really a double ring ceremony, don't do it. I said, I don't understand. Well, he gave a whole shtickle Torah to explain why it's not. Well, it's a mysterious modal. Well, he's doing what he wanted to do without making everybody think that it's what he's doing. So I don't tell him. Anyway, whatever it is. So the bottom line is, there's a din that it has to be Nasan Huva Omer Hu. So the Gemara is a shadow. What's the din if it's Nasan Huva Omer Hi? He gives the ring and she does the speaking. What's the halacha? So the Gemara concludes that we don't know what the din is. We're not sure. We're not sure whether that condition would be valid. Is that called Kiikach because he gave the ring? Or is that called Kisikach because she did the talking? So the Gemara has a strange phrase. At least some Rishonim had the Girsa in the Gemara Kedushin. But the Gemara says, Sveiki v'chashina midirabanan. That it's a Sufi Kedushin, and therefore midirabanan, we have to be machmir, require a get. If the couple wants to break up, so we have to give her a get midirabanan. So Rishonim jump and say, why does he have to give her a get midirabanan? He should have to give her a get midiraisa. It's a Sufi Kedushin. What do you mean, Sveiki v'chashina midirabanan? So there were types of Rishonim, like the Rif, who didn't have those last two words in their Girsa, v'chashina midirabanan. Their Girsa was, Sveiki, finish. It's a real Sufi. You need a get. Presumably, you need to get Sveika der Eisa l'chumra. That's what many Rishonim held. And the Ran in Maseches Kedushin defends that Girsa. The Ran says, no, the Girsa is correct. Sveiki v'chashina midirabanan. Why is it only a chumra midirabanan? Says the Ran, because min haTorah, even though it's a Safek, the woman has a chazoka. She has a cheskes heter. When she was born, she was a penuya. She was a single girl. Now, 20 years later, we're standing under the chuppah, and he gave her a funny kedushin, a nasanuva amrahi. So we have a latest a suffix, whether she's mekudeshes or not. So we have a suffix, but she has a chazoka. So minatori, follow chazoka. So with the raisa, she has a cheskes heter, and she remains becheskes heter, and therefore there's no need for a get, minatora. The only requirement of a get is on the midrabanan. Sveiki v'chashir midrabanan. Because minatora, you follow the chazoka. So, the question is, what do you see from this Ran? This type of a suffix, this is not a mitzia suffix. This is a halachic suffix. We don't know what the din is. What did the Torah mean when it said, ki'ikach lo kisikach? The ki'ikach lo siki, velo kisikach, say it 10 times fast, velo kisikach, does that mean just an asidus hakesef? Or does that requirement include even the dibor? So we don't know. We're not smart enough. If Moshe Rabbeinu was here, he would tell us what the answer is. We're not smart enough to know what does ki'ikach isha mean? What is the kavanah sotera? That's a suffix in halacha. And even though it's a suffix in halacha, the Ran is still applying the principle of following the chazaka. So you see from the Ran that chazaka is all-encompassing. Chazaka works even in a situation where it's a suffix in din. What about the other Rishonim, the Rif, and the other Rishonim who had the girsa chashir and midirabanan? Why? No, I'm sorry, the Rishonim who didn't have that girsa. The Rishonim would say that it's a real suffix. What happened to chazaka mekar? Why don't you follow the chazaka? So the answer most probably is that they held that Yitaka don't follow a chazaka when you have a suffix in din. It doesn't make any sense. Some Acharonim coined the phrase, Bavura chazaka ayishtan hadin. Because you have a chazaka, how's that going to resolve the suffix? The suffix is not a mitzia suffix. The suffix is a halachic suffix. We don't know what the din is. So your chazaka is going to paskin the shalom shulchan aruch. It doesn't make any sense. So bavur chazaka ishtar hadin. So that appears to be a machlekes of rishonim, the Rif and the Ran, and then it's machlekes of Rishbam and Taisim b'Bavas. Machlekes of rishonim. We spoke about this in Cheskes Abatim, I think. It's about a couple of years ago. We spoke about a couple of years ago in the mornings. Couldn't be able to get that far. Now, that this machlekes of rishonim, the b'Bavas, right in condition, whether you follow chazaka meikar in a situation of a suffix and din. So what's the nekudas of machlekes? What are they arguing about? Should you follow chazaka in a situation of a sveik in the din or not? So if you would have asked me, I would have said that it depends on the question that we raise. What's the nature of chazaka? We spoke about this 2 weeks ago. How do we understand this din HaTorah that you follow chazaka? You have a suffix. We're not sure what the facts are. You follow chazaka. So one can present that chazaka is a biror. And chazaka mamish paskins the shayla. Chazaka tells you these are the facts. Chazaka is mevayer to us what the facts are. Like Rove is mevayer to us what the facts are. But maybe chazaka is not a biror. Chazaka is a din hanoga. Chazaka just means that you have a suffix. You don't know what to do. The Torah is not telling you what happened. The Torah is just telling you when in doubt, do X, Y, and Z. The Torah is merely giving you an hoga, it's a chiddush haTorah, that you're allowed to follow chazaka in the situation of a suffix. So we had a long dish of machlekes, a whole shayla in the Rishonim, and what's the nature of chazaka? Does chazaka work as a biror? Does chazaka work as a din anhoga? So if you would have asked me, I would have said, if chazaka works as a biror, So then, how could the chazak be mivayir what the halacha is? Ravina and Ravashi didn't know what the answer was. The Rambam doesn't know the answer. Rashi doesn't know the answer. Shulchan Aruch doesn't know the answer. But you have a chazak is going to know the answer because you have a cheskes penuya. Oh, that's mivayir what the suffix is. It's a joke. It's a type of a suffix that we don't know the answer to. So if you're going to tell me that chazak is b'taras biror, how can it be mivayir a suffix in halacha? But if you're going to tell me that chazak is not a biror, chazak is a dinan hoga. It was a suffix. It is a suffix. It will always be a suffix. And the Torah says, notwithstanding the fact that it's a suffix, you're still allowed to follow. You're allowed to follow the dinan hoga. So then one can argue, if we're not trying to be mivayir anything, we're just granting you the right to follow a dinan hoga in a makom suffix. Why should it matter what type of a suffix it is? Why should we care whether it's a suffix in halacha or a suffix in mitzias? So if you would have asked me, I would have said, this machlokes HaRishonim is an open and shut case. It just depends on what chazok is. If chazok is a biror, it's not going to work by a suffix in halacha. If chazok is a dinan haga, then it will work by a suffix in halacha. That's what I would have said. So if you look in the classic Acharonim, they don't say this. I remember when I was, first time I ever heard this sugya what do you do when you have a suffix in halacha and a chazok meikara? When we were learning Baba Basra in Kerem Yavna, this goes back to... It was back about 26 years ago, my first year in Kerem Yavna. We were learning Cheskes Abatim. So I don't know if anyone remembers Moshe Dittman. He was still around your time. He used to come. He was saying shirim. He had a lot of different gugulim in Kerem Yavna. He was a Rebbe in Kerem Yavna for about 30 years. He was Rebbe Willig's Rebbe back in 1967. So he said shirim in Kerem Yavna for about 25, 30 years or so. Then he left, he opened the kollel in Rehovot, then he came back, then he came back again. He kept on coming back and forth. He was in Tinek one time, and I don't know if anyone remembers. He came once to say Shem Shirum in Tinek. He was alive and a very, very lively individual. So Moshe Duman, he was known to Kerem Yavna besides for his liveliness in terms of saying Shirum. In his youth, now he's ready, an older man, but in his youth, he used to throw shtenders in the middle of the shiur. He would get so excited about something, he would pick up shtenders, he'd mamish bag them and throw. So he once picked up a shtender and smashed it, and mamish smashed the smithereens. So he was a very, very interesting personality. So I remember, it was right before Ben Azman, and we were learning Cheskes Abatim. We got to the Daf Gimel, and we'll sugya days on Gimel. We got to this point about Bavur Chazok Ishtan Hadin, and he was running around, Mamish running around the shiur room. Like, he would pinch you, he'd grab you, Bavur Chazok Ishtan Hadin. And that was the only thing that was ringing in my ears, Bavur Chazok Ishtan Hadin. But he kept on saying, Ani lo mevin, im chazok is a birur, im chazok is a anoda, back and forth, ani lo mevin. So that's how the charizman ended, with those words ringing in my ears. So I came back to America for Pesach. So I figured, okay, I'm going to come back with an answer for Moshe Newman. So it happened to be that I saw Avraham Osman, actually, the Shivan Tells in Riverdale. So when parents in Riverdale, so I used to speak to him a lot, especially during Ben Azman, he would have some time. I was always around. So I used to talk to him and learning a lot. So I asked him about this Bavur Chazok Ashtan Adin. I started asking him about if you hold it's a Chazok HaBeikara, if you hold it's a Dinan Hogi, it's a Birur. And he gave you a very, very, it's a Lomdisha, it's a Hagdara about Chazok HaBeikara. And I tell you the truth, I didn't understand it. That Pesach, so Rav Tzvi Kushelevsky, who is a famous Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, he had to be in America for Pesach, and he had someone who was close with in Riverdale. He was spent Pesach in Riverdale that year. So I figured there's another opportunity. So I asked Rav Tzvi Kushelevsky, the same shayla that Moshe Newman had left us hanging 3 weeks earlier, and he gave me the same mamish verbatim answer like Rabbi Osman gave me, the same lamda shagdara. I didn't understand it either. Now I was in a dilemma. One thing you didn't tell Moshe Newman, you didn't tell him something that you didn't really understand. If you would tell him something that you didn't understand, you were setting yourself up to be the next shtender. He would go after you. So I didn't have the chutzpah to go back and tell him that I asked two gedolei Rosh Yeshivas in America, and I didn't understand either of them. So I didn't want to hear what he would have to say about those who learn in America. It's a different style. So whatever it was, we're still talking 26 plus years later. I'm still not sure exactly how this whole Torah works. But Lefini is like, that's what I think should come out. But if you look in the earlier Acharonim, they don't say this. So again, we're not sure. Suffix in halacha. We're not sure what the din is. We don't know what the din should be. If you have a suffix in halacha, should you follow the chazak or should you not follow the chazak? There is another question that Acharonim raised concerning chazak and meikara. Whenever we speak about chazak and meikara, so we're talking about something in the past. It means I know that Fog been saying the nether used to be such and such in size. Or I know that the woman used to be muteres. I know that the mikveh used to be kosher. I have information from last year, 10 years ago, whatever it was, and I'm assuming that the information has remained the same until proven otherwise. That's the basic principle of Chazaka Meikara. What if you take the principle of Chazaka Meikara and you flip it on its head? You turn it upside down. And instead of calling it a Chazaka Meikara, it's called the Chazaka Dahashta. What if I don't have any information from 10 years ago? I have no clue what happened 10 years ago. But I do know something right now. Right now, I'm privy to certain information. And I have a shaila about whether this information that I know to be true at 7:41, Eastern, what are we on? Eastern Standard Time? Okay, 7:42. The information that I have to be true at 7:42, I want to know, was that information true last night also? I have an important shaila that was known last night. I don't know what the facts were last night, but I do know what's going on right now. Do I have a right to take chazok and go backwards? The same way we have chazok bekar, which goes forwards, means I know information from last week, so I have a right to bring it forward till the latest possible moment. Can I do the exact same, flip it around and take information that I have now and go backwards and say, well, if it's true now, then it was probably true 5 minutes ago. And if it was true 5 minutes ago, it was probably true 10 minutes ago. And if it was true 10 minutes, probably true a year ago as well. Can I do Chazaka Dahashta, which is really in a sense the cousin or the flip side cousin of Chazaka Meikara? There's such a concept in Halacha even exists called the Chazaka Dahashta. So the Sheikh Shmaitzer, this is officially titled the Sheikh Shmaitzer, she has the Sheikh Shmaitzer, has a whole discussion about this, and it revolves around, believe it or not, the first Mishnah Maseches Nida. This is the interplay of last year and this year. The opening Mishnah Maseches Nida raised the following question. A woman gets a period, so she becomes Asura, you know that, but she becomes Temeah as well. And that's the point that the Mishnah is discussing. She becomes Temeah. The only problem is, let's say she realizes at 7:45 in the morning that she just got her period, so she's Temeah. She notices that she just had her ears dam right now. It's possible there was her ears dam 5 minutes ago. Possible there was really dam an hour ago. She didn't check an hour ago, but it's very possible that the dam started already an hour ago. Ma'naf kamina, who cares what happened an hour ago? For Issev Heter, it doesn't really matter. But for Tumah V'Tahara, it makes all the difference in the world. She just touched Truma. She just touched Kashim. She just touched Taras. She just touched food that we have to know. Is it Taras or Tameh? So now we have a problem. Because she's having a Riyas Dam at 7:45. She just touched food at 7:15. She just touched Karbonos at 7:15. And we don't know. Do those Karbonos, that meat become Tameh or not? So we have a Shaila. So what do you do? So that's the opening Mishnah in Maseches Nida. So the Mishnah says that Kola Noshim Dayan Shaitan. That Shammai says that we can assume that she only got her ears dam right now. Whatever happened before 7:45, we can totally ignore. That's what Shammai Shita is. And Hillel basically agrees to Shammai also. Hillel says, if you read the Gemara, the first 8 blotted Nida, so it comes out that Hillel also agrees that the Ikarat in Shammai is right. Kola Noshim Dayan Shaitan. But Hillel made a special chumra in the realm of Kachim not to rely on that din. In the realm of Kachim, we have to assume there's a problem, and then there's a further machlok, is how far back a problem? 24 hours? Is it the Eisli Eis? Is it to the last Bedikah? Again, that's the whole topic of the first Mishnah, Maseches Nida. But in the Iker Adin, Min HaTorah, there's no question that Kol Noshim Dayan Shaitan. Shammai's statement of Kol Noshim Dayan Shaitan is correct, and even Hillel, who disagrees, only disagrees Ligabi Kachim. That's why the Gemara says Ligabi Truma, he doesn't disagree. Ligabi Taras, he doesn't disagree. It's a quirk, it's a special chumrim in the Rabban in the realm of Kachim not to rely on Kol Noshim Dayan Shaitan. In fact, the Gemara says this is one of the very, very few machloksim between Shammai and Hillel themselves. We know that there were hundreds and hundreds of machloksim between the Tamidim of Shammai and Hillel, Shammai and Hillel, but Shammai and Hillel themselves had only three, maybe four machloksim, very, very few cases of machloksim. This is one of them. Hit the jackpot. It's machlokes, the first Mishnah Maseches Nida, and if you think about it, the machlokes Shammai and Hillel is about such a technical detail in Maseches Nida. Everyone agrees to everything else in the Masechta. Everything else in Maseches Nida, everyone agrees to. To have a machlokes on a chumra derabanan, should we make this chumra derabanan, the gabbai kachim or not? But everyone agrees to the basic Torah principle of kol nashim dayan shaitan. Why is Shammai right? Why is Hillel right? Why is there such a principle that min haTorah we can just ignore the fact? Maybe she really did have Riyas Dam 10 minutes ago. How can you ignore it? So the answer is she has a Chazaka Meikara. The underlying premise of Shammai's statement and Hillel's agreement is Chazaka Meikara. So you see that the Halakha Tanoim, Shammai and Hillel, were discussing the same issues that we're discussing now. They've been talking about 2,000 years ago. They realized that of course there's a different Chazaka Meikara. That's the principle of the Mishnah Anida. Kol Nashim Dayan Shaitan, because the woman has a Chazaka Meikara. But the problem is, she has a Chazaka Meikara. Means a week ago she was Tahora. We know she went to the mikveh 2 weeks ago. So 2 weeks ago she was Tahora. Last week she was Tahora. 3 days ago she was Tahora. Yesterday she was Tahora. 10 minutes ago she was Tahora. Now we have a latest Safek. When did the dam start? So Shammai says, "Kol Noshim Dain Shaitan." So your father Chazaka Meikara. The problem is, but there's a Chazaka the Hashna. We know for a fact that she's Tamei right now. It's not a suffix. We know she's Tamei right now. So maybe we should say, "Well, true, we have a Chazaka Meikara going this way, but we have a Chazaka the Hashna going the other way." So the Mishnah ignores that. The Mishnah says, "Nah, forget about that. Kol Noshim Dain Shaitan. Min Torah. Forget about the Chazaka the Hashna." So comes the Sheikh Shmaitz and raises a lumbish question. What's Pshat in Shammai's statement? What did the Hilig Tanoim 2,000 years ago, what was the underlying principle behind Kol Hanoshim Dayan Shaitan? Why are the Tanoim telling us, in effect, that Chazaka D'Hashta doesn't exist? There is no such thing on the books called Chazaka D'Hashta. That's what the principle means. That's the source of Kol Hanoshim Dayan Shaitan, that there is no such thing as a Chazaka D'Hashta. What do you say? No, that not that there's no such thing as a Chazaka D'Hashta. What the Tanoim was saying was, yes, there's a thing called Chazaka D'Hashta, but it's not as powerful as a Chazaka Meikara. It means when you have a clash between a Chazaka D'Hashta and a Chazaka Meikara, Chazaka Meikara wins. But let's say there's no clash. Let's say there is no Chazaka Meikara. I don't know what the facts were a week ago. So then Chazaka D'Hashta is a valid principle in Halacha. So just because the first Mishnah Nida says that you don't follow Chazaka D'Hashta, that doesn't mean that the Chazaka D'Hashta is a nothing. It doesn't mean that it's ignored. What it means is that it loses out to Chazaka Meikar. So we're not sure. So it's Torchian. We don't know what Shammai meant. We don't know what Hillel meant. We're not sure what the Lomdus in the first Mishnah in Maseches Nida is all about. The Gemara has a case in the first Pech of Kedushin that may be an application of this principle. The Gemara has a Shaila. There was a certain Kedushin that took place, and they weren't sure whether the ring was a prut or not. They didn't know. They weren't sure. And nobody was around. Nobody has to aid them whether it was a prut or not. And now, we're looking at the ring right now, and we see that right now it is a prut. Right now it's not a prut. But we don't know what it was worth then. You know, change, you know, objects change in value. So it's barely a prut now. We don't know, was it a prut then or not? So that's what the Shmeishmaitza discusses. Could you follow Chazaka D'Hashta? Can you say, well, if I know it's a pruta now, we can assume it was a pruta then. If I know it's not a pruta now, I know that it wasn't a pruta then. So that would be an application of the principle of Chazaka D'Hashta. So it's unclear what the din is. Is there a concept called Chazaka D'Hashta or not? So much of discussion about this principle of Chazaka D'Hashta revolves around another sugya that appears also in the beginning of Maseches Nida, appears a little bit in Maseches Kedushin, about the case of the mikvah. I gave, as an example of Chazaka Meikara, I gave a very, very tricky case. I said, we have a mikvah, and all of a sudden we realize, Gaval, there's less than 40 saw in the mikvah. So now what do you do? So I know that last week there was 40 saw. Last week it was a kosher mikvah. And right now it's not a kosher mikvah. So what do you do? For the last 5 days, there have been people who have been toggling the mikvah. So they have to go call everybody and say, come back to the mikvah, the mikvah's puzzle. Or can I assume that the mikvah was kosher? Because it was kosher last week, so it's kosher today also. So what do you do? So if you'd asked me, I would have said, there's a classic case of Chazaka Meikara against the Chazaka D'Hashta. The Chazaka Meikara is pointing in a direction that's a kosher mikvah. The Chazaka D'Hashta of now is pointing in a direction that's a posel mikvah. So what do you do when you have a Chazaka Meikara against the Chazaka D'Hashta? So that's the Mishnah Nida. So I would have said, you follow the Chazaka Meikara. The same way that you follow the Chazaka Meikara called Noshim Dayan Shaitan, and you could be Meikil that the woman is Tahora, so too you could follow the Chazaka Meikara that the mikvah is kosher. If it was kosher last week, it was kosher 3 days, it was kosher yesterday, right now, it's possible. Okay, it was kosher, to proven possible. So l'chora, that's what the din should be. You should follow the Chazaka Meikara. Comes the Gemara and says no. Comes the Gemara, quotes up. So Mishnah, right? You don't do that. Why? Because true, you have a Chazaka Meikara against the Chazaka D'Hashta, but you have another problem. What's the other problem? The person has a Chazaka Meikara that they're Tomei. The woman used to be Tameah. The man used to be Tomei. So he went into the mikvah. We have a latest asafek whether he became Torah or not. So now you have three Chazakas on the black. At a blackboard here, I would draw three different Chazakas. You have a Chazaka Meikara of the mikvah pointing in the direction Lekula. You have a Chazaka, the Hashta of the mikvah, pointing in the direction Lechumra. But you have a Chazaka Meikara of the person pointing in the direction Lechumra, because the person was Tameh until proven Tahor. So comes the Gemara and coins a new phrase that's called the Tartil Reisa. Says the Gemara, when you have two out of the three Chazakas on the board are bad, two out of the three are pointing in the direction of Chumra, that spells trouble for us. So in theory, a suffix in the Kashas of the Mikvah should have been a Chazaka Meikara and it should have been Mutter, but it's going to lose out to the Tartil Reisa. So the question is, how do you understand that halacha? What's the nature of that din that you follow the two out of the three chazakas? So one can argue, it's just simple math. Just go on the board and start to add up. How many chazakas do you have? You have two columns. I have tahor and tamei. So in the tahor column, I have a chazaka mekar of the mikvah. It's like it's a check of the tahor column. In the tamei column, I have a chazaka dahashta. The mikvah is now possible. It was possible yesterday also. But also in the tamei column is the chazaka mekar of the person. So I have two checks on one side, one check on the other side. Simple math tells me, two against three, two against one. So I have two tamei and one tahor. So that's one way of understanding this halacha. If that's the way of understanding the halacha, then you see that chazaka dahashta plays a role. You see that the chazaka dahashta of the mikvah is an important factor in halacha. It adds to the chulent, it adds to the equation. So we would walk away and say, chazaka dahashta is a concept in halacha that we have to reckon with. So says the Sheish Maizeh, not necessarily. Maybe one can learn pshat as follows. Maybe one can learn pshat. Chazaka dahashta doesn't mean anything. It's not a concept in halacha. It's really just a clash between two chazaka meikaras. There's a chazaka meikara of the mikveh. The mikveh used to be kosher, so we don't know what it is now. There's a chazaka meikar against that. The person used to be tameh. We don't know what happened now. So it's a clash of chazakas. But one of the chazakas has a reisa to it. Namely, the chazaka of the kashas of the mikveh has a problem in it. The problem is, the chazaka dahashta is showing that it's not true. So chazaka dahashta is not a concept in halacha. Chazaka dahashta is not a cheshbin in halacha. All chazaka dahashta does is it weakens the chazaka meikara. So now I have a strong chazaka meikara of the cheskes tomb of the person against the weak chazaka meikara of the kashas of mikvah. I have a clash between a strong chazaka and a weak chazaka. Obviously, the strong chazaka is going to win. So just because tarte the reis of paskins that I have to be mitami the person, that doesn't mean that I'm paskining based on chazaka dahashta. Chazaka dahashta doesn't exist. There's no such concept as chazaka dahashta. All chazaka dahashta means is it can weaken a chazaka. Once it weakens the chazaka, so now I have a strong chazaka against a weak chazaka. Of course, you have to follow the strong chazaka. So at the end of the day, we don't know what the answer to this question is. We don't know chazaka dahashta. Does this concept of chazaka dahashta exist on the books or not? So we have a Mishnah in Maseches Nida that seems to be ignoring it. We can't tell. Maybe the Mishnah is just ignoring it when it conflicts with a chazaka meikar. Can't tell from the Mishnah Nida. We have a sugya later on in Maseches Nida and a tie to the Reisa. So that seems to show that a chazaka dahashta is an important piece of information. Lav dafka. Maybe chazaka dahashta just weakens a chazaka meikar, but it doesn't really stand on its own 2 feet. So at the end of the day, we don't know. We're not sure whether this concept exists. So kofanim, we know, hopefully we know a little bit about chazaka meikara. We know that chazaka meikara is great. We know it's kabbalah, it's murid, it's deraisa. But it loses out to Ruba v'chazaka Ruba Adif. Either they're Isa, they're Abana, whatever the case is. Then we know that chazaka meikar is great, it's wonderful, it's gevaldik, but we're not so sure that it works by a suffix in halacha. Bavur chazaka ishtana adin. We also know that chazaka meikar is great, but you have to always figure out, is it going to work when there's a chazaka dahashta against it? So you have to read through the sugyas in the first 8 plot of Maseches Nida that talk about these principles. When you have a chazaka in one direction, a chazaka dahashta in another direction, you have contradictory chazakas, what do you do? So again, this is all the background as to some of the possible limitations within the principle of chazaka mekar. Hopefully that's from next week. So we're going to try to move out of the realm of Isurim and a little bit into the realm of Mamonis and see how many of these rules that we've been talking about Rov and chazakas, how do these play out when you have Dinei Torah between Reuben and Shimon, rather than when you have a kosher mikvah or not. So hopefully Mitzvah will take a little bit of a different twist next time.